You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Patricia Elsie Tuttle, and what a book, what a book, what a book, what a mighty good book. This is episode number 353 and a half, and today I'm going to talk about a couple backlist titles that I'm excited to share with you. Hi, everyone. For those of you in places that acknowledge daylight saving time, I don't know how many more years I can handle of this. Every year seems to knock me further off my feet, and I am struggling out here. We did manage to get some things done last weekend, like make more marshmallows for a friend's birthday. The marshmallow cools in a 13 by 9 sheet pan before cutting it into cubes, so I thought it would be a clever idea to try to use a cookie cutter. We ended up with 9 very large and very green marshmallows in the shape of Tyrannosaurus Rexes. The cookie cutter actually worked shockingly well, but the marshmallows are hilariously oversized. Our friend said they are going to attempt to stand one of them in a mug before filling it with hot chocolate. I'm still not tired of making marshmallows, but I'm getting the itch to do more baking and cooking. I recently received my first box of a bean subscription that I joined, and I've been on the waiting list for over 4 years for the spots for the subscription to open. So I screamed when the slots opened up, and now I have a box of 6 pounds of beans that I need to make. I'm actually really looking forward to it. Cooking beans for me is definitely an exercise in mindfulness. I touch each and every bean as I sort through them before soaking them, and getting them prepped to simmer takes a bit of labor, but I think it's totally worth it. The Heirloom Beans Cookbook by Rancho Gordo takes the intimidation out of making beans, and I'll totally link that in the show notes because I have become a bean enthusiast. But I'm not here to talk about cookbooks because I have some great backlist titles to recommend. Before I get to my backlist book picks, let's hear from a sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Mobius, part of Hachette Book Group. I have for you a swashbuckling fantasy that is full of demons, possible gods, ghosts, and an ornery mule. So, Essevar Boros is one of the legendary sword-fighting magistrates known as the Great Coats and the king's personal investigator of the supernatural, and he is no stranger to tales of ghosts and demons. So, when the fractious monks of the abbey, rumored to be the birthplace of the gods, begin warring over claims of a new pantheon arising, the frantic abbot summons him to settle the dispute. Armed only with his famed investigative talents, his faltering skill with a blade, and imperious, his ornery mule. In the words of Donkey from Shrek, though, he's a noble steed, okay? Armed with all those things, Estevar must root out the source of the madness lurking inside the once sacred walls of Isola Sombra before its chaos spreads to the country he's sworn to protect. Pick up Crucible of Chaos by Sebastian D. Castile for all of the wonderful things I just described to you. I mean, it sounds like a good time. And thanks again to Mobius, part of Hachette Book Group, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Scribner. Weird Black Girls by Elwyn Cotman is a collection of 7 stories in which characters pursue their obsessions on paths to glory and destruction, while all around them their worlds twist and warp, oscillating between reality and impossibility. On display throughout is Cotman's ability to reveal truth about the human experience, about things like friendship, love, betrayal, bitterness, all through whimsy, horror, and fantasy. Elegiac in tone, imaginative, and humorous in their execution, the character-driven stories in Weird Black Girls challenge, incite, and entertain. The author's last book was named one of NPR's best books of the year and was a finalist for the Philip K. Dick Award, with reviews appearing in the New York Times, Wired, BuzzFeed, and Locus, among other publications. Definitely make sure to check out Weird Black Girls by Elwyn Cotman. And thanks again to Scribner for sponsoring this episode.
For my first pick, I have Creative Quest by Amir Questlove Thompson. So I've met a lot of people who have really strong opinions about creative advice, whether that be advice about writing or music or whatever the career or project might be. Some folks have advice that they swear by. create daily, paint daily, write daily, whatever. And sometimes with the added layer of also doing it at the same time of day and building a habit. Some folks I found hate this. Their opinion is that being creative is so unique to each individual that all advice in essence is incredibly unhelpful at best and flat out bad at worst. Personally, I apply a some, many, most framework. Some people think creative advice is useless. Many people find value in creative advice. Most people can usually find at least one thing of value in a pile of creative advice. And this is why I tend to read books about creativity. I don't expect that every single thing in the book will be inspirational to me, but I expect to find at least a few things that I can identify with and apply to my own writing, music, cooking, etc. So this brings us to Creative Quest by Amir Thompson, aka Questlove. If you don't know who Questlove is, he is the co-founder of the music group The Roots, which is also the house band for The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Questlove is a drummer, a DJ, an author, a culinary entrepreneur, a designer. This man does not stop. A couple of quick warnings about this book, which was written a few years ago. He does use a couple of comedians as creativity examples. One of the comedians is a transphobe, the other is a rapist. So just, I want to give that warning, because I don't want you to be caught off guard when you listen to or read this book. Otherwise, I really enjoyed this book. He not only gives advice on being a creative, but he also explores what creativity means, how different people may define it, and has some great discussions on creativity inspired by other creative works. One thing he talks about that I don't read enough of in such advice books is the importance, again for some people, of being an apprentice or having a mentor. A lot of people can benefit from that kind of relationship, and there is always such an emphasis on doing things on your own when creative community is important and nothing happens in a vacuum. Related is another idea he talks about, which is cultivating a network. Some people frown on the idea that it's not what you know, but who you know, and I honestly think it's a bit of both. Another thing the author spends a lot of time writing about is curation. Curation as an important part of the creative process and curation as creativity itself. I'm inspired to read that section again because there was a lot of good stuff in it. I do want to note that, given Questlove is a musician, there is definitely music throughout the audiobook, which can be an absolute cacophony of sound if you turn the speed up on your audiobook players like I do. I definitely recommend this book for fellow creatives and creative wannabes. It's Creative Quest by Amir Questlove Thompson. For my second pick today, I have Displacement by Kiku Hughes. This young adult graphic novel was clearly inspired by Octavia E. Butler's Kindred. It is time travel historical fiction, though it is packed full of actual facts about how the US government forced its own citizens into incarceration camps. Displacement is a self-insert story. Kiku imagines herself as a teen. She and her mother are visiting San Francisco. They live in Seattle. In San Francisco, they go to Japantown to try to find the home where Kiku's Japanese-American grandmother and her parents lived in the city in the Japantown neighborhood. They lived there before they were forced into an incarceration camp during World War II. At one point, Kiku's mother goes into the mall and Kiku gets sucked back into time for the first time. She describes it as displaced. Once she gets her bearings, she realizes she is seeing someone who might have been her grandmother having a violin recital. She is able to look around briefly before being shoved back into the present. We learn that Kiku and her mother don't really talk about Kiku's grandparents or her mother's upbringing very much. Her grandmother passed before she was born, and she never got to know her. Kiku knows very little about her grandmother's experiences. Kiku gets displaced another couple of times, again, back in time to her grandmother's experiences. Kiku ends up being in the same incarceration camp as her grandmother, who is 17, and great-grandparents. Kiku quickly realizes that there is so much she didn't know about this completely heinous act by the US government, and she is learning it all firsthand. Personally, I learned nothing about this in school. The only reason I knew about the Japanese incarceration camps is because my grandmother's half-sister was forced into one. If a person was 1/16 Japanese or more, they were forced into a camp. My family was also in San Francisco, and it does make me wonder if they were sent to the same camp as Kiku's family. I also didn't know much more than that. As Kiku explores, there is so much shame around what happened, especially by the people who experienced it, and it doesn't get talked about in many families nor taught in schools. I didn't know that people protested within some of the camps, and that some folks refused to sign paperwork that they would join the U.S. military. I didn't know that there were a lot of differences of opinions between the older generations who immigrated from Japan and the younger generations who were born in the U.S. Reading this graphic novel was enraging on so many levels. The fact that this happened, the fact that this kind of awfulness continues to happen in different ways to different groups by the same government, the fact that I was taught so little about it. This graphic novel is so important. I really do love the artwork as well. The facial expressions in this are absolutely wonderful and perfect. It's Displacement by Kiku Hughes. That's it for me this week, book lovers. Thank you so much to our sponsor. A special thank you to my totally awesome audio editor, Jen Zink, and thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com, and don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. Remember, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We sincerely appreciate your reviews, and your reviews help other book lovers find us. If you want to talk about books or nerdy stuff or check in on my shenanigans, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Infophile, as in The Lover of Information, spelled T-H-E-I-N-F-O-P-H-I-L-E. In the meantime, have a safe weekend, drink some water, and happy reading.